Thank you for taking time to listen to a message that was given at the Bridge Church in Bradenton, Florida. It's an honor to serve you, and we hope that you'll grow and be encouraged by today's message.
Well, I got to tell you something. We're so excited. This series has been something that I've been feeling like God wanted us to do for some time. And we're starting this series called Hold the Line. And it's really about, I want to challenge you, and I feel like God wants to challenge us to establish some standards of behavior in our lives, the standards of behaviors that will help us, that will serve to kind of, you know, sound off alarms when we begin to kind of wander into areas and territory where we don't realize that there's a battle going on, and we can sometimes get ourselves into a lot of trouble. A lot of people just kind of, you know, go through life without thinking about personal standards and the need to be clear about where you stand. And you know, when in the area of your finances, in the area of your marriage, in your dating life, how you handle your health and build margin into your life. So often people get into trouble because they find themselves suddenly in a situation of temptation or a situation of compromise, some kind of situation like that, and because they didn't actually take the time to kind of think about where they stood, they weren't ready when it came. And by being ready and understanding where it is that you should draw the line, that where you can hold the line, without that, you really leave yourself very, very vulnerable. Now, we use this kind of a mental picture of a battle line. A battle line. And when there's a battle line, when there are forces that are coming together, the battle line serves a very important purpose. It's where you meet and defeat the enemy. The battle line is that place of intensity, that place where you know exactly where the battle is taking place. And there are three purposes that happen through establishing a battle line, through establishing, if you would, a standard. Now, one of the things that establishing a battle line in your own life in a certain area will do is it'll clarify exactly where you stand. To be able to know before you go into a relationship, here's what I stand for. This is how I conduct myself in relationships. That will save you a lot of heartache down the road. To be able to kind of look at your financial situation and go, this is how I do finances. This is how I handle my finances. Those things will help you to establish exactly where you stand and to be clear about it so that when a time of temptation or a time of compromise presents itself to you, you'll be able to kind of have bells go off in your mind. You'll hear bullets whizzing by and your conscience will awaken and go, oh, you drew a line. And when we talk about drawing a battle line, we're talking about a personal standard of conduct, a personal standard of behavior that will awaken your conscience at a moment when you're facing a great temptation or a trial. It's something that will serve to kind of awaken you. We're not talking about coming up with something that you'll judge other people by, right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about that you go, hey, you know what? This is what I'm going to stand for. This is what I stand for. It will clarify where you stand. Every soldier needs to understand where the battle line is. They know that if I begin to have gaps in the battle line, that those are things that should really bother me. Those are areas that I need to deal with. So the second thing that a battle line does is a battle line helps to direct your strength to where you most need it. You become aware of where is the breach in the line? Where is the breach in my life? Where is it that I keep failing in the same battle over and over again? Where is it that I seem like, it, and no matter what happens, when I come out of this relationship and had that relationship and had that relationship, as I go into this one, it just feels like I'm repeating the same patterns all over again. Why is it that that happens? Because at a certain point, a battle line will tell you, if the enemy keeps breaking through a certain part of the line, you've got to begin to direct your strength to that area because that's your most vulnerable place. And that's where it'll keep happening if you don't do something about it. Now, I just had a physical a couple months ago. And when I went to my doctor, he's the most wonderful doctor, gentle, kind doctor. Matter of fact, he comes to the second service, so he heard all this. When I went to the doctor, he sat down with me and he said this. He said, Mark, ideally, you probably should be lighter than you are. You know how hard it is to suck my gut in the whole time I'm up here? Says, and I was like, I started laughing. I said, Doc, that was like the nicest way of telling me that I'm fat, man. Thank you so much for doing that. I almost didn't even feel bad at all. Like, and I needed to do anything. He was so gentle about it. What was he saying? He was saying, Mark, you need to draw a battle line in your health. You need to establish what is health for you. And you need to direct your strength into dealing with your health. And so my goal, by the time we get done with this series, I'd like to lose like about 20 pounds. So you ought to see me every week go from, you know, this to, you know, kind of this. I mean, that's just accountability, isn't it? But listen, I'm serious about this. Some of you may have made some New Year's resolutions and you've already forgotten them. But when you made it, you were sure that that was an area of your life that really needed to be dealt with. This is the time to reclaim that. Because if God was asking you to draw a battle line in your life back then and you kind of let go of it, this is the time when you'll really be able to draw strength for that. I'm going to do it. I'm going through this. I'm going through this. Okay? I'm going to do this too. Because why? Because God said, hey, look, you've made enough jokes about what your doctor said. You've told enough people, made enough people laugh. But I'm speaking through your doctor. And I need you to draw a battle line, Mark. I need you to be clear about where you stand on the issue of your health and whether or not you're going to take care of yourself, and I need you to direct your strength into that area. What is the area where you find yourself falling time and time again? Where is that area in your life where you go, man, that battle, I just keep losing time and time and time again? What God wants to do is to help you to draw a battle line in that area. So not only will he help us to clarify where we should stand, not only will he help you to direct your strength, but he'll also do the last thing. He will protect what has been entrusted to you. Your battle line that you draw in your life is designed to protect what's entrusted to you. When a soldier fights, he's not just fighting for himself, is he? He's fighting for the guy next to him. He's fighting for the women that are back there. He's fighting for everything that has been entrusted to him. The greatest motivation is knowing that there's so much at stake that the decisions that I make on a battle line do not just affect me. They affect those that have been entrusted to me. Listen, when you make a decision as a couple to begin to really have the kind of marriage that God wants you to have, you're not just doing that for you. Your kids are getting a vision of what a great marriage can look like. Your kids suddenly can become aware when they see you learning how to work out conflict, learning how to protect your marriage. You're not just doing that for you two, you're doing that for your kids. And you're giving them the ability to have vision for something that God can do in their life. Those of you that are students, the fact is when you learn to draw battle lines and someone comes up to you and at the party and they go, hey man, here's a bowl full of pills. Just take one. I don't know what it does, but just take one. It's fun. By you having drawn a battle line, you'll know exactly what to do in that situation. And you understand that there are students around you that God has entrusted to your influence. And you'll be able to show them that you can stand in the midst of anything. Whether a student, whether you are in a workplace, the fact is the people that you work with, those are people that God has entrusted to your influence. The people that know you, your friends, are people that God has entrusted to your influence. And so what God does is he clarifies, he directs us, and he wants to protect all that has been entrusted to you, but he needs you to draw a battle line to do it. So that you're able to stand in the time of temptation or time of testing, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it's marital, whether it's moral, whatever that area is, God says, draw a battle line, clarify, direct, and protect. And let me tell you, especially for those of you that are students, and for those of you that are kind of starting out, you're young, you're in your 20s and 30s, I hate saying it that way, you young people, like, you know, okay, so anyway, there it is. But all around this room, I guarantee you, I can tell you this, that our greatest regrets, when you get to be farther down, your greatest regrets will be the times when you'll look back and you'll go, I wish I had known what the thing was I was supposed to do. Or I wish I had had the strength to say no when I wanted to say no. Or I wish that I didn't run away from the battle when it got so hot. I wish I would have stayed in that relationship. I wish I would have kept my promise. I wish I would have done that, but I just didn't feel like I had what I needed to be able to stand in the midst of that. The greatest regrets that people carry are the regrets of looking back and going, I wished I had known what I was supposed to stand for back then. And so here's the cool thing. For you that are starting out, it's just nothing but opportunity for you. And for the rest that felt like, man, I wish I would have known this a long time ago, the cool thing is this, is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of those missteps, for all of those bad decisions, for all those mistakes we made. Jesus paid for all of it on the cross, took every single one of them, loves to forgive, loves to wipe the slate clean and go, it's a whole new beginning. From here on, it's different for you. From here on, it's different. See, the cool thing is this. We get to leave our past in a rearview mirror because of what Jesus did. And we all can have a lot to look forward to. But if we're going to get there, we've got to learn to draw some battle lines. We've got to learn to be able to avoid those regrets by learning to walk and follow what God has to say in the area of our business, morality, relationships. We have to learn how to set those personal standards of behavior that kind of alert us when we're in the battle. Okay, now here's a challenge. Here's a challenge for all of us. The challenge is that we don't live in a culture that supports that kind of thinking. We don't live in a culture that says, hey, set high standards in your life. Be concerned about your influence. We don't live in a culture that does that. We live in a culture that kind of has not a lot of clarity about what's right and what's wrong, but rather kind of just generalized statements. Here's a few kind of things that you hear, like when it comes to alcohol, drink responsibly. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean I stop at 6, 12, 18, how many? You know, and it's kind of like, it's a great concept. It sounds good. It sounds good. All these things that I mentioned are going to have the same thing in common. Here's another one. When it comes to sexuality, wait until you're ready. Okay, now it's been like 30 minutes already. Is that enough? Is that, you know, is that long enough? What does it mean? Right? Or parents, talk to your children about drugs. Okay, they all sound good. Here's the problem with all those things. None of them sound an alarm. None of them has any urgency. None of them tells you you're in a dangerous spot and you need to know exactly where you stand. None of those things do that. And it's kind of typical. It's kind of like, think about this. Practice safe sex. You know what the problem with all of these things is? Other than the fact that they don't really raise any alarm in you, they don't really tell you about where you should actually take a stand, the problem is they all leave so much unprotected. And there are some things you can't put a condom on, like your sense of self-worth, your sense of value. There's some things that aren't protected when you follow these things. They just aren't meant to do that. Consolidate your debts. It has a good ring to it. But it leaves so much unprotected, doesn't it? When you get down to it. And see, so what we're talking about doing is establishing personal standards of behavior that set off an alarm in your head that goes, hold it, you know what, that's not what I'm about. I already know this issue. I already knew I was going to stand on this battlefield. I don't do those kind of things because I understand that the fact that I am in a battle and that a lot has been entrusted to me. Now, we're going to take a look at how the Apostle Paul kind of dissects this in the Ephesian culture. And he writes a letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, here's what you need to understand about Ephesian culture. Paul wrote this. You talk about having no boundaries. You talk about having no standards. The people at Ephesus, this was them. It was the norm. I mean, literally, when people went to go have a religious experience, they went to the temple to go have sex with the temple prostitutes. That was going to church. Probably was pretty popular, you know. But that was it. I mean, that was their life. There was like no boundaries. Adultery doesn't matter. No boundaries. People did whatever felt good, whatever it was that they wanted to do. Everything was about money, sex, and power. And a lot of the people in the church in Ephesus came out of that culture. And Paul is writing this letter to them to help them to understand, how do you begin to draw battle lines when you've come out of a culture where there are none? How do you begin to set standards when you've come out of a whole environment and a whole way of living where there are no standards at all? And so he goes in Ephesians chapter 5 like this. We're going to read the passage and then we'll kind of walk through this together. Paul said, as he's writing to new believers, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are," what? "Wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now let's kind of take a look and see how to break all of that down. Here's the cool thing. What's behind Paul writing this is the fact that you have a heavenly Father who cares about you. You've got a heavenly Father that loves you. You've got a heavenly Father that wants to teach you how to protect those that have been entrusted to you. You have a heavenly Father who wants you to experience blessing and peace. You have a heavenly Father who is fully invested in you so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins. Jesus was raised from the dead so that you would know that you can have new life. He did all those things. You have a Father that is for you, and he's giving this through Paul. So how do you get ready for battle? Look at how Paul started out. He said, "So be careful how you live." Now, how many of you have dogs at home? Any of you let your dogs loose in the yard to kind of do their duty? Any of you do that? Like, can't believe we're talking about this in church, but we are. Okay, cool. Now, do they kind of go in the same area for the general part? Okay, when you go out in the yard, okay, and you get to that zone, you are careful where you step, aren't you? Right? Here's what Paul's saying. Be careful where you walk. Be careful where you step. In military terms, they would say it like this. Put your head on a swivel, soldier. Know where you are. Understand your surroundings. Go through this and just really observe where you are. Be careful where you walk. Don't step on a landmine. Be careful. In other words, there needs to be a degree of intentionality about you, how you live. That you don't just kind of go through life and, oh, this thing comes and that temptation comes and this temptation, and you're just kind of winging it. He's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. You need to be careful about how you walk. Watch where you step. He goes on to say, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And literally it's this. He's saying, stop becoming foolish. A fool is somebody who keeps falling for the same thing over and over and over again. He's saying, stop losing the same battle over and over again. Stop making the same mistake over and over and over again. Stop getting into that relationship like you got into the other relationship and falling for the same things that you fell for before. Stop doing it. Stop getting hooked into the same things that you got hooked into before. Don't keep making the same mistakes. It's time to begin to understand what's going on. Don't just go through the motions. He says, be like those who are wise. And the word wise, and when the Bible talks about being wise and talks about wisdom, here's exactly what it means. Skillful living. That means that you understand what the situation is. You understand and you know how to work your way through that situation to become skilled at it. Listen, when there is a major battle that an army is facing, you would think that they would go, well, these guys over here, they're tired. So let's just take the fresh guys who haven't had any kind of action and let's bring them up here because they can fight the battle. They've got all this energy. But that's not what they look for. They always grab the guys that are tired. The guys that are battle-worn, the guys that are experienced, the soldiers, the men and the women that have been in situations and have learned to maneuver through those situations. They understand that there's a tremendous value in experience. Yeah. And that what they want is they go, hey, these soldiers, the reason that they're alive is because they've learned to fight with skill. They don't just rush into things. These are people that really are able to fight well. And what Paul is saying is, don't be like those. Don't keep being foolish like people that get defeated. He's saying, be like those who have learned to live this skillfully, have learned to fight well. Be like that. Make up your mind to become that kind of person. Listen, the cycle may have passed from your great-grandparents to your grandparents to your parents, and now you're dealing with it. You be the one that goes, the cycle stops with me. This doesn't get passed on to my kids or my grandkids. I'm going to be the one to deal with it with God's help, right? It says, don't keep being foolish. Be why? Stop allowing yourself to get defeated by the same things over and over and over again. It's time. It's time for some of you to draw a battle line. It's time for some of you in an area of your life to go, we can't keep doing it this way. I can't just keep consolidating debt. We really need to learn how to do this. I can't just keep doing relationships like this. I need to do something differently. He goes on to say this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Literally, redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't let this opportunity slip away. Because the older we get, the more we wish we could go back and retake some lost ground. The older we get, the more we wish we could go back in time and take a stand back then in a time of temptation. Some of you go, I wish I could go back and I wish I didn't take that first pill. I wish I didn't take that first drink. I wish I didn't believe that first guy that told me how awesome I was, that just took advantage of me. I wish I didn't believe all that stuff. All of us have an area where we go, I wish I could go back. See, here's the problem. Opportunities, they slip away. And every time we're presented with an opportunity to take a stand, there's something that happens when you take the stand. When your conscience goes off and goes, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I know what's right, and I'm not going to give in to this. And you make the most of that opportunity. One thing that you and I cannot appreciate is how many people are affected positively because we've done that. On the other hand, when we let the opportunity to take a stand slip away, we can't begin to appreciate the unintended consequences that came from our times of weakness and giving in. So he says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Time is working against us. It just slips through our fingers. My goodness, my kids were toddlers yesterday. One's in college now and one's in high school. What happened to the time? Where did all the opportunities go of the things that I wanted to teach them? They've slipped away. See, time doesn't work for us. Time works against us. And the sooner that we know where to take a stand, the sooner you begin to develop standards in your life, the sooner you're able to experience the blessings of God and the blessings of knowing that those that have been entrusted to you are protected. So it's time that always seems to be working against us. Here's the next thing Paul says. He talks about these evil days. We're in dangerous times. It's dangerous financially, morally, relationally. We can't afford to be careless. And at some point, the light goes on. Just how much there is at stake for you. At some point, the light goes on when I think about what's at stake with my health. When you realize what's at stake financially in your life, when you realize what's at stake relationally in your life, morally in your life, you realize that there's a lot at stake. So Paul goes on to say this, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to what? Do. Wants you to do, right? So here's the deal. Look, soldiers, when soldiers are well-trained, they develop an amazing ability to do what they call, or to gain what they call situational awareness. To be able to understand where the threat is, where the threat's coming from, where the high ground is, where the position of advantage is, where the weaknesses and the battle lines are, they begin to develop situational awareness. The dream for every commander is that every soldier develops a sense of situational awareness and has that ability to be able to respond to the threat that's facing them. And when they do that, that's a great thing. But you know what helps to do that even better? Is when they take a drone doing surveillance, flying high in the sky, and are able to talk to the guys where the boots are on the ground and say, on the other side of that hill, there's a place where you can go. You could take a high ground, a position where you'll be able to have the advantage. And you've got an enemy that's doing an end around. They're trying to outflank you on the left side. Make sure that you shore that area up. And a situational awareness is amplified greatly when they begin to rely upon information from above as well. And what God wants to do is God wants you to understand what His will is. See, God has been studying people. God knows people for eons and eons, cultures, backgrounds all around the world, right? He knows where people make mistakes. And what we need is we need information from above to know this is where the battle line should be. This is where my standards should be. This is where I should be taking a stand. Because I've got information from above to help me to do that. From the one who loves me more than anybody else and from the one who knows mankind and knows where they fall and knows where they can stand. See, you and I need that. So Paul says, hey, don't act thoughtlessly. Don't just kind of wing it. Don't like walk into a battle and go, whoa, wish I would have known what to do here. You say, no, don't do that. Understand what the Lord's will is. He's got your back. He's got your best interest in mind. If he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, if he did that to let you know that you're worth dying for, that he is for you and not against you, you can trust him to help guide you and then help you to learn where it is that you can draw the line. Develop the situational awareness, not by relying on your own understanding, but by learning how to get help from above. Now, here's the cool thing. Honestly, you don't even have to be a believer to do that. If you're willing to give God a chance, if you're like here and you're like, hey, I'm not a, you know, I don't count myself as, you know, a Christian yet, like a lot of you guys are, you can say to God, God, if you're real, then help me to understand this. Help me, God, to get this. Help me in my situation. And you just see what thoughts and insights begin to come your way. Because God wants to make himself known to you. And God wants you to know that you can trust him. And so he'll do that. Help you to not act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Here's the next thing Paul says. He says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Now, if you're in Ephesus, you'd be going, no, getting drunk with wine is the point. That's the goal, isn't it? No, it's not the goal. Don't get drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Everything that God looks at, you got to see this. You got to understand this. Everything that God looks at, you think that the issue is getting drunk. That's the small issue. What God is looking at is what does it lead to? That's what God has his eye on. You see, God, whenever he gives, whenever you read in the New Testament, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, whenever you read a command, it's not about that issue. It's about what that issue leads to. And see, this is important because, you know, in this culture, a lot of times they're like, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, but I don't believe what the Bible has to say about that issue. And probably what you don't understand is that you're just looking at that issue and you think, well, it should be okay, but God is looking at everything that that issue leads to. And he's saying, in this situation, hey, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. It's the drunkenness, yeah, that's an issue, but it's the ruining your life. That's the issue. Now, listen, guys, it's not saying don't drink. You can drink, all right? The issue is getting drunk and what it leads to. Now, there are some books that I have never read. There's some stories that I've never heard. Here's one book that I've never read. I've never read the book that was entitled How Getting Drunk Saved My Marriage. Have any of you seen that book? Have you any of you heard the testimony or the story where someone said, man, my wife and I, we used to fight like cats and dogs. But man, when we discovered Jack Daniels, it just took care of everything. See, that story's not out there. That book hasn't been written, has it? Right? I've never read the book that was entitled How Marijuana Helped Me to Motivate Me to Achieve My Goals. I've never read that book. I've never read that. See, what he's saying is these things all lead to something. That's where God's heart is. It's in those areas of our lives where he's looking at it and he's saying, this is the issue. That thing leads to all of this. And I love you so much and I care about you so much that I don't want that to happen to you. So draw a battle line on this issue. Draw that line. And he goes on to say this. He goes on to say, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? He's saying the issue is what is it that makes the decision in your life? Where is it that you have the ability to make that decision? Are you giving up the ability to make good decisions and draw clear battle lines because there's something in your life that is a bigger influence than the Holy Spirit? He's saying this is the issue with alcohol, that when you get drunk, you've now given your will up to a greater influence than God. That's what it is. Now, see, some people would go, well, I don't drink at all. You know, I'm awesome that way, right? That's not the point of the passage. The point of the passage is God should be your number one influence. It's not don't drink. It's let God guide you, the one who loves you, the one who wants you to be able to protect all that's been entrusted to you, the one who has your back like nobody else does. That's the point. Don't be drunk. Don't give up your free will. Don't stay stuck in that pattern of behavior where you want so desperately for someone to love you that you give yourself away to them and inside you feel like you're dying when you do that. He's saying, don't get hooked into that feeling and let that control your decisions anymore. Don't let a sense of emptiness continue to fuel your hoarding and your spending that is so out of control. Don't let that be the dominant influence in your life anymore. Because God wants that place. God wants to be the one to lead you and guide you and give you freedom in the midst of all of that. Here's the cool thing. This is so cool, you guys. Listen, when you begin to set a standard of behavior so that your conscience can go zing, so that you can hear bullets whizzing by and you understand, okay, I'm not crossing this line. This is where the battle line is. When you do that, you will begin to get in tune with God's voice. You will learn how to hear God's voice when you do this. So I want you to just take a moment and reflect on this for a moment. Where is it that God is drawing your attention to? What is the area in your life where God is saying, I need you to face up to this? It's time for you to deal with this. It's time for you to experience some freedom. It's time for you to experience some victory in this area. It's time for you to face this issue in your life. Is it a health issue? Is it your finances? Is it how you do your relationships? Is it how you run your business? Is it how you earn your income? What's the area in your life where God is saying, hey, it's time? And for some of you, you've had the same issue in your life and lost the same battle so many times that you've stopped dreaming that it could ever be any different. And yet you've got a Father in heaven who already has in his mind the picture of you walking in freedom, The picture of you walking away from that issue. The picture of you being able to know that you can stand on that same battlefield and face that same temptation and to stand and to not be defeated anymore. And to be able to know that those that God has entrusted to you are blessed because you've said to God, God, it's time. I agree. So what area is that where he's asking you, face this. I want to deal with this with you. Where are you flirting with disaster? Where have you not drawn a battle line? Is it you go into work and you complain about your spouse and you complain about it with members of the opposite sex? And you talk to somebody and they just seem to understand you more than your spouse does. And there's already a sense of something's not really right. Is it contact with an ex? Is it something that you've been doing that if somebody close to you found out about, they'd go, I can't believe that you're doing that. If there's an area in your life where you've been flirting with disaster, if you've been hanging out with the crowd, the friends that are saying, hey, come on after work, we're going to go do this. And you know that that leads to this. That's an area where God is saying, hey, let's draw a battle line. Let's clarify what you need to stand for. Let me help you to direct your strength to the area of your greatest vulnerability. You may go, I would never want to tell anybody about this. I would never want anybody to know. But can I tell you? I mean, this is a place full of people. We all have our history. We all have our stuff. This is a place where you can find help and support for what you struggle with. This is the place. And to be able to learn how to draw those lines and say, okay, I'm going to take a stand. Not going to flirt with disaster anymore. Not going to play with addiction. Not going to be so consumed with lust because of all the things that you fill your mind with that you have a hard time just enjoying a member of the opposite sex for who they are without your mind going to some bad place. And it's the time when God's saying, hey, this is an area where it's time. Let's draw a battle line. Let's rescue from this. Let's get you as far away from the lie that you'll have to carry this your whole life. Let's not do that. Not on my watch. See, I sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for all that. So you can live fully forgiven, knowing that I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. And he was raised from the dead to demonstrate that not even death has power over you. And I'm with you. And I'm the Father who cares about you. And so together, we're going to set some standards. We're going to draw some lines. And I already see what victory looks like in your life. See, that's God. That's God. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes if you would. What is that area where he's saying, clarify. Don't wander into this. Don't be thoughtless. Don't keep making the same mistakes. Where you are, would you just join with me? Because I've got my stuff too. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you, just put your hands together, just like this, cupping it in front of you. Would you take that issue and just put it in your hands? Would you say, Father, this is yours. I admit it. I need your help. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, that I could search all over the universe. I would never find somebody who is more for me than you are. Never find anyone that is more personally invested in my victory than you are. Would never find that one. And God, I ask that you would begin to bring into the hearts and minds of everybody here, for those especially that have walked and fallen in the same battle time and time again, that have long ago given up hope that their life could be any different, God, I pray that you would already begin to give them the faith and the sense of what you see as you see their freedom already walked out. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would already begin to minister your freedom in their hearts, God, that you would already begin to break those strongholds. God, that you would already begin to infuse hope. And that just as you called the people out of Ephesus to learn a new way of living, that you would begin to give a vision for a new way that life could be. Thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray for the one that has wondered if you exist, wondered if any of this is real. God, as they reach out to you, I ask that you would demonstrate yourself to them in a way that it is undeniable to them that it's you. May you do that, Lord. God, for those that are struggling in hopelessness, God, may you push back the enemy. May you push back all that influence. And may your promises and your word come to bear on their minds. Father, thank you for your spirit that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to figure it all out on our own. We don't have to wing it. We don't have to guess. But we have help from above. Thank you, God, for being an ever-present help in time of need. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, guys, let's tell God thank you for his grace in our lives. Listen, I am so excited about what God is going to be doing in all of us through this whole series. If you've got friends that are struggling, friends that are really feel like they're losing hope, let me encourage you to invite them. Let me encourage you just to reach out to them. And keep pressing into what it is that God wants to do. Don't give up. And I mean this. Listen, if God has tattooed something on your heart and said, this is an area where I want you to draw a line, you can begin to thank him now for it. You can begin to say, God, thank you for what you're starting already. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God is going to lead you through that, all right? Guys, let's stand up and let's just seal this with blessings. If you want someone to talk to or pray with you after the service, we'll have people up here that'll be willing to do that and just help you any way that we can. May you begin to experience help from above for your situation, getting understanding and insight on exactly where the battle line is and where you need to take a stand. May you experience growth in confidence as you make those decisions and allow God to train you to hear his voice as your conscience warns you. May you experience the leading of the Holy Spirit in a deep and personal way so you always have confidence to know that anytime you're called to stand on that battlefield again and face that same temptation, that you'll be able to stand because you've learned how to walk wisely with God in it. May it be so in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you.